For members only, Golf Smarter number 421, published on January 28, 2014.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Part 2 of Winning the Battle Within with Dr. Glenn Allbaugh.
This is Golf Smarter.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter for members only, Glenn.
Hi, Fred.
Thanks for joining us for part two. Again, the book is called Winning the Battle Within. It is available in the Golfer's Mart at golfsmarter.com. And the author, Dr. Glenn Allbaugh, with a long history of working with athletes at all levels and all ages in helping him improve their mental game. And thank goodness he's here for us with golf.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. I'm always interested in talking about these concepts that I embrace so that we can offer an opportunity for people to learn more about coaching themselves so they can have more enjoyment and lower scores.
Coaching themselves. Yeah, coaching themselves. This is something I think slips through everybody's fingertips. I think that we berate ourselves much more than we coach ourselves.
Well, I think it's you know, that's something that's kind of embedded in the golf culture that we want to get rid of. You know, I play with these guys at Stockton Country Club. These guys that play almost every day, and I play with them occasionally. And some of them, I'm kind of wondering why they're playing. Well, they come back every day, and they play, and they're really tough on themselves, but there's also a whole bunch of them that really, really enjoy it. And they enjoy the camaraderie. They enjoy the challenge of the game, the inherent challenge of, 90% of the time we're in between shots and how we deal with all of this, and the great challenge of hitting shots under pressure. And they really do enjoy it. And this whole thing about self-coaching is a step towards, puts us on the path towards more enjoyment. And I think more enjoyment comes before lower scores. At least I'm looking at it that way.
How do you keep yourself in check when you're with these group of guys and they start beating themselves up? And how do you stay out of that, or do you?
Oh, yeah, I stay out of it. like somebody says to me, "Will you work with me?" I said, "No." I decided about 10 years ago that I'm only going to work with really good athletes because they make me look good.
I think you do that yourself.
When I'm playing, I'm a handful. I've got to take care of myself, to stay in the present and, maintain and stay within my pre-shot routine and make sure I practice it and make sure I stay with it. And make sure I stay with my post-shot routine. Make sure I stay with my in-between shot routine. Because that performance package, leads me towards the opportunity for more enjoyment and for lower scores.
We ended last episode with you talking about visualization.
Mm-hmm.
Please expand on that idea.
Yeah, okay, let's use that in a pre-shot routine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pre-shot routine, as we like to call it, the SAT, which is strategy, aiming, and trust. And as you know, and they say in my book, that came from I was working with a high school golf team one day, and I was explaining his pre-shot routine. And it begins with picking a strategy, which we talked about before, Fred, that we can totally commit to, that fits our game and fits the situation. Then we have to aim. And the next thing we do, we take aim, and we're in that mind now, that mind of imagination that works. It's so inventive and innovative and creative. So we have to aim. We have to aim our club face, and we aim our body lines, and we aim our mind. And aim our mind is seeing the shot. And we need to have something out in front of us. Seeing something in front of us. Some people just see the target. Some people see the whole thing. Some people feel the target, but it's out in front of us. And the next part of it is trust. And trusting means that we are totally engaged. We made a total commitment to our strategy. We take an aim, and now we see the shot and feel the swing that matches it. We're totally engaged in our sensory system, and we've given ourselves then the best chance possible to hit a shot that's going to be hit an acceptable shot. Because, of course, we have a strategy committed to, we take an aim, and we trust our aim, and then we trust our swing, which means our totally engaged to seeing a shot and feeling the swing and hearing it. And so that's the process, that's part of the process and the performance package, is to have a pre-shot routine that you can count on. So you got to practice it so you can do it when you play.
But then things don't always go as we hope or had planned, strategized.
That's true.
And then we go into a post-shot routine, right?
Yeah.
And that is what really could be the savior of everything.
Well, we talked about it extensively in the last time we talked together. But it's so important in our post-shot routine. It begins by being present-centered, by suspending judgment, describing the shot, and then review the shot that we missed non-judgmentally, and then we replace it. Well, okay, I held on to that one. Okay, I'm going to let the system go. I might even take a swing. I might just do it in my mind. And now I'm refocused. Now I'm ready to go. And I'm ready for the next shot. It all begins, though, with suspending judgment and being present-centered. So now I can get ready for the next shot.
I have to imagine that the post-shot routine can last a lot longer than a pre-shot routine, because you have all that time before you get into your pre-shot routine, from your last shot,
yeah.
Or do you have to keep that in a time
capsule?
The bridge,
the bridge is in between shot routine.
Mm.
So okay. What do we do in between?
Right.
We do everything we can to stay in the present. We have inner conversations, Fred, about, holy mackerel, I'm down 1, 3, and 5, or, wow, I really got it going now. Or, this jerk that I'm playing with. Or, do you see that, the pin setting? We have the inner conversation. It's so important for us to get back in the present when we found ourselves getting ahead or telling stories. So we can do that. There's a couple ways we can do it. We might have conversation. Walking, if you walk, it's much easier, I think, to stay in the present than if you're riding in a cart.
Absolutely.
But you might have conversation with somebody. The other is breathing, very important to count your breaths. We find if we look at the top of the trees when we're walking, it try it sometime. People who are listening, next time you're playing, walk and look at the tops of the trees. You'll find then that it's very difficult. Well, let's say it this way, that we get into our imagination, we look at the tops of the trees. You find people walking and they're looking down. They're usually calculating. Well, let's see, their bet, how they stand in their bet. They might calculate their score. But if we look at the tops of the trees, it's almost impossible. It's very interesting. That we get access to the part of the brain that's a non-thinking part of the brain. And so looking atop the tree is a good thing. Counting your steps, breathing, anything we can do to get ourselves back in the present so it can allow us then to bridge the in-between shot between bridges to the pre-shot routine.
So it's not just getting into the present, it's really getting out of the past.
It's staying in the present is recognizing when you're getting ahead and when you're getting behind so you can get back in to the present. But you have to be aware that you're tripping out so you can get back to the present. Look it. I guarantee you the rest of your life, you're not going to stay in the present the rest of your life. But I guarantee you, you can, if you're aware of what's going on, you can get back to the present. And it's absolutely essential to be in the present so you can get ready for the next shot.
Oh, I wish you were sitting on my shoulder last week. I've been playing well lately. I've been feeling that I have a strong understanding of strategy, that my mental game has gotten very, very good for me, and my scores have reflected. I've really gotten good at staying in the present. But I had a round last week where I was playing beautifully, first five, six holes, and then one bad hole, and it was really bad. And I had so much trouble getting out of that. And I looked at the top of the trees and I slowed my breath down and I stepped away from the group and closed my eyes and just tried to slow everything down for myself. But it was double bogey, double bogey, double bogey, double. I mean, it was in this train that I had it wasn't until I finally, I think around 16, I just said, forget it, I'm done. I just let everything go. And then I parred the last two holes.
Well, the only thing I could recommend, not being with you on that time or working directly with you, I would say the next time I practice, let's do a little bit more simulated practice, more first shot stuff, so that when you're on the range, you're going to miss some shots, and you're able to use your post shot routine while you're on the range so that you're practicing it. So you'd be ready when you get out on the course. Or next time you go to the golf course, skip the range and get out on the course and practice on the course itself, because of course that's where we play. Mm-hmm. I certainly highly recommend practicing on the golf course. Highly recommend that. If you have an hour's time and you have a golf course, you have access to it. I do this a lot. Late in the day, I jump in a cart. I prefer walking when I play, but I jump in a cart and play four or five holes and hit a lot of shots, and because it's really, really good practice. So I recommend first shot practice, and I recommend doing it if possible, do it on the course.
I want to get back to the list from your New Year's greeting from your website, when you subscribe to your newsletter. Again, it's Winning the Battle Within. The website is wbwgolf.com, Winning the Battle Within Golf. And your next point here, and I think this is such an interesting one, is swing tension free. I play with guys where I see that just before their swing, things like their shoulders go all the way up to their ears, or their nose flares out and turns white, or their hands, you could see the knuckles changing color. There's so much tension that people think they need to just tighten everything up. They think it's important for them to get a good, hard, fast swing in, and it's disastrous. And you can't share that with them.
One of the ways we approach that is through our inner game drills, the trust drills. So next time, Fred, you're on the range, I want you to take out your favorite club. Say you take a 7-8 iron out, and I want you to swing. I want you to imagine yourself swinging tension-free. And a tension-free, and I'll explain that, a tension-free swing will say I'll give myself a 10 when I swing tension-free. And if I really hang on to it for dear life, that would be a 1 that's full of tension. I want you to imagine, I want you to take a picture of PGA Tour players and watch how effortlessly they swing. And remember how many of your best shots are when you swing just effortlessly and you hardly even feel that you hit the ball. And it's something that's good to do with a partner as well. And just pay attention. Allow your swing to find the path of least resistance. Don't try to move it anywhere. Just kind of let your swing go. And we call it swinging tension free. Imagine the baseball pitchers, when they throw it 100 miles an hour, how effortless it is. Or imagine the sprinters. They're running 100 meters. You notice the ones that win, the last 10 meters, their jaw just jiggles. Now, obviously, when we swing, some muscles will contract and the others will relax. And if you can stand in the air, I don't know which ones do, but when we do swing without tension, we're able to send a message to those muscles. So just let's just swing as carefree as we possibly can. Let's not care where the ball goes for now. Let's just see if we can just let our swing go without trying to guide it. Let's see where it does go. So we call that swinging tension-free. It's one of the inner game drills, and it's I think it's one of my favorites.
I like that idea, but it's not always easy. I mean, it's and you're absolutely right. You can see how, like you said, the jaw jiggles and how tension-free the pitch is or just the golf swing is. And we just want to mimic that. But we also, I don't know where it comes from, but, you know, just trying to crush the ball, I guess, thinking you need to tighten everything up.
Well, yeah, we do. And and we have to do just the opposite for our fastest swings. Are the ones that we just let go.
So how do we put that into our pre-shot routine to remind ourselves to relax, to let it go, to drop the jaw, you know, to loosen the tension in your jaw and your hands and your shoulders?
Well, what we do in our Winning the Battle in workshops is we introduce the whole thing about playing in our imagination, and we do the inner game drills, and we do them in pairs so people get the idea of what it feels like to keep the edge of a target, what it feels like to swing tension-free, what it feels like to swing, you know, hit 100-yard 8-irons, what it feels like to really let our swing go. And, of course, that's the end of the pre-shot routine, isn't it? Because that's the absolute trust. Because when we practice the inner game, the trust drills, we're practicing the end of the routine. Because a pre-shot routine begins with a commitment to a strategy. And we do that, you know, within our thinking brain. Then we leave our thinking brain, and we step in and aim, and we visualize the shot. And then we take aim with our club face and our body, and, of course, our mind. And then we move to the last part of the routine, which is trusting, which would mean retaining the image of the target, feeling the swing that matches that, and hearing the sound in advance. But we practice those separately, and then we put them all together in our pre-shot routine. So the inner game drills, the trust drills, are the end of the pre-shot routine. And then we put them in as we practice our full routine, and then we're able to walk over, make that walk from the practice train to the first tee with a swing we can trust.
Could you describe for me your pre-shot routine? And I want to be more specific than just what's going on internally. When you start your pre-shot routine, if I'm watching you, you know, visually, physically, what is your pre-shot routine that entails all of it?
Well, okay, mine is what I learned from some of my players, but the umbrella would be this. So the first thing we do is calculate, you know, look at our lie and calculate the distance. If you have a range finder, great. Pace it off and know it's 165 yards. And we look up, and the pin is on the right-hand side. So we take a look at everything. And sometimes we can do that in 10 seconds. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Okay, it's 165. I like a 7-wood. I am going to cut it in because it's easy for me to cut a 7-wood. So I'm doing all those things in my conscious mind. All right, now I stand behind the ball. I don't care how far behind the ball you get. But I stand back about 3 or 4 paces, and I take a breath to get myself a nice, you know, real yogic breath to get myself making sure I'm in the present and that I relieve tension. And I look up, and I visualize a shot. Now I start my walk. I walk in. I set my club face. I have an intermediate spot for my club face, which is usually about 5 inches in front of the ball. I set my club face, and then I immediately look up to the target and allow my body to shape up to the shot that I have imagined. All this time, I'm still retaining the image of the shot that I want to hit. I look up the next time, and I say to myself, target. I come back to the ball. I look up again, and I say, feel. That's it, feel a swing. And I feel it, and then I come back, and then I say, trust. And I say the trust to myself, and then I swing. So that's my pre-shot routine. What I've included there, of course, a strategy we're doing a conscious mind, and then I come into the aiming part, which I'm doing automatically because I practice it often, where I set my club face on my body and make sure I set my mind to the target. Then I use words to help remind my body of what it's supposed to do, like target, stay connected to the target, feel the swing that matches what you see, and then trust what you see and feel.
Is target, feel, trust a checklist that you're checking off, or is it a reminder that you better have that in your head?
It's a reminder, yeah. Some of the people I work with like to use words, and we use words if they're helpful. Some don't, but it's very important for them to stay connected, you know, to have energy out in front of them and feel a swing that matches what they see.
The next point on your checklist here is power your inner game. Explain that to me.
Well, the inner game, powering the inner game is exactly what I've just explained.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of the pre-shot routine. When we're walking in, then we're in that mind of imagination, the one who sees and feels and hears, you know, and feels impact as well. And that's the inner game. And when we get out of the thinking brain, we're into the part of our, you know, the mind that works so fast, 1,000 times faster. And that's the entry to the inner game, when we're totally engaged in the process, you know, swinging the club, which includes seeing it, hearing it, feeling it, trusting it. That's the inner game.
And how much more of this information will the book help me with?
Well, the book is pretty all-encompassing. And it talked about, it not only talked about the concepts with some really vivid stories, but it also tells you how to do it, how to go about doing it. So you can learn to self-coach it. You can learn this thing about self-coaching. And there's some interesting drills at the end of the book, where most of them are inner game drills, and there are also some first shot drills, we call simulator drills.
Next down on your checklist here, I'm kind of confused because it says present-time-awareness. I'm not sure what you're trying to tell me on that one.
About awareness?
Present-time-awareness. Are those three separate concepts that you...
No. Present-time-awareness is being able to recognize when you are in the present. And so then that creates the awareness of everything that might be going on, which we've described today. I missed a shot because I wasn't committed. Wow, I nailed that one because I was really locked into the target. You know, my present time awareness meaning, while your mind is wandering, you know, about what's going on here, and you're not paying attention to the process you need to use in order to prepare for the next shot. So present time awareness is just essentially being in the present first, so you can be aware of all the things you need to be aware of to give yourself the best chance for each shot, which means totally committed to a pre-shot routine, and it means being able to replace and refocus when you miss shots, and being able to stay in the present when you're in between shots. So all of that begins with a present-time awareness.
I know that you're very tight on time now. I want to make sure that you have enough time to get out to your next appointment. But I want to wrap up with the bottom of your checklist. Stay on the path for high performance.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, I know you only have a moment left, but let's see what you can do with that one, right? Do you have a semester, right?
What we put together is we call it the pyramid of high performance. And so we have a pyramid. This is kind of a new thing. Well, it's a new way to do an old thing. And the pyramid, at the top of the pyramid, is playing in the zone, which we could all have access to. We can get there. But the bottom of the pyramid is the foundation. And the bottom of the pyramid is making sure you have the right clubs, and making sure that you pay attention to your technique. Some other things in the foundation. Of course, you know, Fred, that our golf culture tries to keep us in the bottom of the pyramid because that's a stream of cash, isn't it?
Golf culture
makes money when they sell you equipment. Hey, fella, you can get 25 more yards if you buy this driver that's a white one. If you buy Golf Digest tomorrow, 95% of the articles will be now about working on your technique. So I make money if I give you lessons over and over again and if I sell you equipment. But if you move up the path on the pyramid, we start getting to some other things that are really important. Maybe I'm going to set some goals here. I got to work on my performance package we've talked at length about. I'm going to move up here and I'm going to learn more about quality practice, ways that I can practice to maximize a game. I'll move up here. I'm going to learn more about managing my emotions. Emotions, we know, come without notice. They don't send you a letter. They're coming. But we can be aware of our emotions when they do come. So when the passion comes, we'll stay with it. And when frustration comes, let's change it and get back. So then we keep moving up to the top of the pyramid. We get to a place where we're in the zone. And so what that means? It means that we're totally engaged to what's going on. We're absolutely present-centered. We make total commitment, you know, to our shot. We can, now we're really into our maximize our senses. We see the shots, feel the swings. So we're at the top of the pyramid. So when we're there, we're always there. No, sometimes you have to come back down. Let's see now, Fred. I want you to improve your technique on your chip shots. So I'd like you to see so-and-so and work a little bit here on your technique. And once you have that perfected, now we'll get back on the path and move up. And now we're going to take this new technique and we'll find a new way to practice. So that's what we mean by being on the path to high performance.
It's a wonderful thing, and it's a great book to have in your library. It's called Winning the Battle Within by Dr. Glenn Alba out of Stockton, California. Friends with Pete Carroll, rooting for the Seahawks. Glenn, it's great to have you back on the show. I wish you all the best and a good year for you, a healthy year for you, and I hope you sell a whole lot of books to the Golf Smarter audience.
Thank you, Fred. It's been delightful. It's always a delight, I say, I repeat myself, to talk about the stuff that that is really, really important because, you know, my commitment, and I'm really totally committed, and I'm really pretty good at it, too, is to really move people to the place where they can enjoy the game more and to shoot lower scores. And I think that begins with the whole thing about learning, you know, more and more about self-coaching. And there's many, many concepts and activities and drills with winning the battle within that can move you in that direction. So thanks for keeping me aboard, Fred.
If you have any questions, comments, or remedies, please click on the Hey Fred button at the free Golf Smarter app for iPhone or Android or at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.